I'll talk a little bit about your book.
Okay. I'm Gabriella Guglielminotti Trivel. I'm originally from Turin, in Italy, and I've been living for more than 18 years now in UK. And what to say about myself? I studied languages at school and then at high school and university, and because of that I ended up traveling a bit, which I always wanted to do, and I ended up working in the Maldives in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and so I met a Brit and I fell in love and I moved in 1998, I moved to London. And so that was the beginning of my British life, so to speak. I'm still an Italian citizen and I never changed my citizenship. Anyway, I lived in London for 11 and a half years. In those 11 and a half years, I got engaged, got married, got divorced. Then I lived on my own for some time, and then I moved eventually out in the countryside because I wanted to learn to fly, and so I couldn't really do that in London. So I moved in 2009 in a little town called Berkhamsted in Hertfordshire. And in the meantime, though, in 2008, I did go to Antarctica. Hence my book written in 2011 called Antarctic Odyssey and Your Beginning, which I published in 2012. And what is in the book? Yes, of course, I explain my story of how I ended up in Antarctica and what happened during the trip. But mostly and foremost is a book that doesn't really talk about geographical details or fauna and flora, etc., but is actually the narration of what happened to me internally, innerly, as a woman during that trip. And how that trip transformed me, and what are the lessons that I learned during it, and what else. I think succinctly is about it.
Okay. Well, you know, we all have to take a journey. So, of course you're in big old Antarctica. How did that change you?
Okay. I was, in 2007, after ending the divorce I was going through, that I had been going through for a couple of years, I was quite distraught. I thought I was fine. I kind of held up during the difficult times. But it was only when everything finished, you know, the adrenaline wears off and then you start feeling the knock-off effect. And I could feel that I needed to refine myself. I needed to do something promptly that would rekindle the relationship with my spirit, with whom Gabriella was and is. And so what happened was that really in a couple of days after my second court hearing finished, I heard from a friend about this event in London, and where there was this motivational speaker, this a chap called Peter Blenn, an Australian guy, who was actually advertising to go to Antarctica. So I just went and listened, and I realized that could be a very good opportunity for me, because the purpose of going to Antarctica was to face fears and limiting beliefs. So I had trained in neuro-linguistic programming in 2006. So, and besides, I've been also through something quite tough, you know, like a divorce is. And so I felt really intrigued by that, and I thought, you know what, I have to go there, to do this, to go on this trip, because, you know, it's not an opportunity that happens every day. It wasn't a place that I, let's say, was on my bucket list, right? So I like warm climate. So the freezer of the earth, it wasn't really appealing to me. Besides, of course, the fauna, meaning the animals, right? But of course, and the beauty of nature there. But it's not a place that I would have put in my bucket list, right? So, but what intrigued me was the fact that it would have been an opportunity for me to test myself. And I knew that I would get some money coming out of the divorce. So I thought, if I don't do it now, when else? I might have this opportunity, and I would do something so crazy, really. And so that's why I said yes to my spirit, and so off I went. Did I answer your question?
Well, yes, I like that. So, okay, if the trip was about facing fears, and you know you have to reconnect. So, if I may ask, what kind of, aside from reconnecting in and of itself, what sort of fears did you face while you were down there?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I asked myself that question many times. So imagine that this was, it was going to be a trip of 10 days, roughly, on board of a ship, that it would be just for this group of people. You know, it wasn't like a touristic group or something like mass-produced. So, and we would do certain activities once in the Antarctic Peninsula. Just to give an idea to the listeners, Antarctica is a humongous continent. You could fit, if I remember well, Europe and Australia put together in that continent. So quite big, right? So we travel through the Antarctic Peninsula, which is that strip of land that basically sticks out of the continent towards South America. And but the purpose, it wasn't really to go exploring Antarctica. You know, there are many people that have done that. It's not, the purpose was really to go there to be in an environment that normally you are not in. And it's pretty extreme, and yes, we would live on board, but you know, we would go kayaking, we would go ice climbing, camping on the ice overnight, and things like that, which are not things that normally one does daily, or not in that environment, or not with that purpose. So, to answer the question, I ask myself, why do I want to go there? You know, is it something really that, of course, being the situation I was, it really appealed to me, because I was just coming out of 2 years where I was living a very, let's be honest, dire situation. So I had split from my husband, but because of practical and financial reasons, we were living split under the same roof. And the relationship, of course, had already broken down. Otherwise, why would one want a divorce? And so, as you can imagine quite easily, you know, our relationship became worse and worse. So it was quite challenging, psychologically, emotionally, okay? So when you come out of a time like that, in a way, I think it's a kind of a defense, self-defense mechanism. You think, oh no, I'm fine, I'm all right, I passed through the worst of the storm, now I will be fine. But what I actually realized, it was that the storm has passed, yes, but you are in tatters, you are in bits and pieces, you know. And so that opportunity just talked to me. He really, I'm quite an adventure type of person. I like the outdoors, you know. I was raised with my parents and being mountaineers and getting us, my sister and I, with them since an early age, trekking in the mountains, in the Alps, you know, in Italy. So, in a way, there was that appeal of being in contact with nature. And I always had felt in my life the appeal to nature as my major teacher. And so that, of course, appealed to me because Antarctica is one of the very, very few places in the world where nature is still, we think, pretty intact, okay? And besides, the other important thing is Antarctica is the only continent where, as far as we know, which is quite limited, but anyway, there hasn't been any war. And the Western people, country that have kind of a footstep there, is just apparently for scientific purposes. So that appealed to me as well. And then also I think it was the fact that I always liked to challenge myself since very little as well. And so I think I was, I felt really irresistible, the opportunity after having gone through this enormous storm called divorce. I was feeling appealed to go through another one, but this time, in a way, self-inflicted, right? Self-chosen. And so it should have been a pleasurable one. But even if I chose to go, and there was a gap of 9 months because I signed up in June 2007 and the trip would happen into March 2008, so 9 months gap. And I can tell you that in those 9 months it was hell because of course I started, as it happens, I started questioning myself and it's normal, you know, doubts kicks in and you start thinking, what the hell have I done, you know, why am I crazy or what? And also, I kept asking myself, why are you going there? What will be for you a challenge? You know that you are quite pretty fit, you will be fine with all those physical activities, you know. So I knew in my heart, I knew life always knows best, right? So always finds its way, clever way to put you under trial. So I knew that because the purpose of it was to test myself, so a test will show up. Pity for the fact that I didn't know. So right. I tried to prepare myself as much as I could. And physically, but also emotionally. And then I just, off I went. And yes, I was tested.
Okay. Well, hopefully in a good way.
Well, yes, because I came back, so it was good. But I narrated in details in the book, you know, what actually happened. But I would have never, Yolande, I would have never, ever, ever thought that I would be tested in the way I've been tested. But I think that's part of life. We think we know, but we actually don't know. Would you agree with me?
Well, right. Well, you know, life is the journey. And the journey, you know, you get a little too lax, you get in the lax. Oh, you need a curveball. Oh, okay, fine. You dodge the curveball. You kind of, you know, it's like a roller coaster. So you got to have the ups and the downs, and that's what, you know, that's what the journey's about, I think. So it's good that you went through that. What was some of the? I mean, when you first get to Antarctica, I mean, it's got to be just mind-boggling to see this great place.
Yeah, I mean. There were different tests that I didn't think they might happen. I consider myself a pretty tough cookie. So I'm normally not car sick, I'm not seasick, I'm not plane sick or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I know also that there are people that are more subject to those sicknesses. But if, for instance, let's take as an instance the sea, being seasick, you know, it just depends on the degree of level of the storm. Because it's well known that even the toughest sea walls, you know, they get sick if the sea is in certain sea conditions. So, and the Drake Strait, which is that bit of water between the southernmost tip of South America and the Antarctic Peninsula, which is the north, the most north tip of Antarctica. That strait, which is called the Drake Strait, is one of the toughest, most horrible, you know, most difficult bit of sea in the world. And the reason for it is because there are mainly three oceans converging. So you have the Pacific Ocean, the Antarctic Ocean, and then also the the Atlantic, Pacific, and then the what is called the Antarctic Sea, or anyway the water around Antarctica. So as you can imagine, it can be quite tough. And I thought, oh, well, no, I'm fine, you know. And when we started the crossing, most of the people they were taking, or some people had patches they didn't put somewhere, you know, like for car sickness or stuff like that. Some people were taking drugs, so I thought, no, not me.
Wow.
No. So I took nothing, and it was rough. And I tell you, I lived it through it, and enjoyed the most, and I really decided to die. It was so horrible. It was, I can't remember having been so sick in my life. But you know, on the way back, though, it was nothing. That's when they call it the Drake Lake. Instead of the Drake Strait, they call it the Drake Lake, you know. It can be totally smooth, and fortunately on the way back it was. And so I can say I enjoy both ways. But the point is, I wasn't imagining that I would go through something like that, and but I did, and yes, it was tough, to say the least. But I wanted to go through awake, you know. That's why I didn't take any drugs. And then another thing that also happened there, that is the major thing that I wasn't expecting at all it might happen, I lost all my gear, my photographic gear. And that for me, it was the most important. Possibly I value that more than my life, because I love taking pictures, I love nature, I love the light, and I've been dreaming for 9 months, you know, the wonderful views that I would enjoy there, that so few people do, you know, because it's very minute amount of people they go there. And and also before setting off, I had this inner voice saying to me, you have to make something out of it, you know, because not everybody's got the privilege to go on something like that. And so I was really determined to do something that I could leave, you know, for the benefit of other people, not just me. So, I didn't know what to do. And then I heard this, you know, voice saying to me, well, go and film, you know, produce something. Besides, I never filmed before, right? Uh-huh. And I didn't have money to obviously take with me, you know, a crew, anything like that. It was way out of my budget. When I heard that, I knew that I had to do something about it. And so what I done, I found some advice about camcorder, And off I went with my little budget. I just bought the best I could buy. I bought a new camera so that I could take pictures of a certain level that maybe it could be published. So I really did the best I could do in my little with my little capabilities, you know, to fulfill this dream. And you can imagine when the first time I set foot on the land, I lost everything. So that was possibly the biggest challenge that happened to me. And I think it was because if you're challenged physically, yeah, if you die, you die, there's nothing you can do. If you are injured or something, well, again, you try to do something. But death was an emotional challenge, of course, you know, psychological. And those, I think, are the worst. They are really the toughest. So I was a wreck, to be honest. I was a wreck for the rest of the journey.
Wow.
To me,
you're emotional there. That took your mind off of the rest of the challenge.
You know,
you already have one.
I tell you, Yolanda, that was my most horrible possible nightmare. And that happened. I manifested it. And so, I didn't know what to do. I was just a wreck.
Huh. But you wrote a book.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So, to be honest, again, I do believe that in life everything happens for a reason. And if the trip had gone smooth and nothing had happened and blah, 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 possibly for me, that trip, it would have been just a trip. But it was something different, definitely. And I tell you, I wrote the book after 3 years because when I came back, I was still going on tunnel vision, you know, because I had to produce a documentary. Whatever happened, you know, and I was desperately trying to see if I could sort it out somehow and finding contents or something. You know, when something is not meant to be, whatever you do, it doesn't work.
Yes, I'm quite familiar with that, yes.
So that's exactly what happened, and it took me 3 years to realize that maybe I could consider another option. You know,
it happens that way. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm quite resilient and stubborn and focused and da-da-da-da-da, which is good, but sometimes it's not that good, right? So
right.
I realized, well, but Gabri, why don't you write a book out of this? It will be not what you wanted, but at least you can say it can be your legacy, right? And then anyway, I haven't abandoned my dream to produce a documentary out of it, but I realized that if I wrote a book, you know, at least you can, it's something material, it's like an object, well, or an electronic object, but anyway, that you can give it to somebody, and maybe might get inspired, he or she might get inspired, and maybe then the documentary might still come out of it, but it's better than having nothing, right? And so why I'm saying this,
right.
Because you asked me something that, yes, because I can't remember what you asked me, but anyway, to say that I wrote it 3 years later, and I think it wouldn't have been the book that he is now if I'd written immediately after. So
right.
This
right.
To say that life sometimes, it does give you the opportunity to digest stuff if you want to digest it.
right. Well, plus it gives you a better, what it changes for may not seem like it at the time that it's better, but it is better. Because if you had been there and you had created the documentary, that would have been just, you know, one type of documentary, your point of view, blah, blah, blah. But because you weren't able to do that, you had to sit down and write a book. And that was another emotional thing. Writing a book is very emotional. And it gave you a chance to, you know, still explore and help yourself get better. It's kind of cathartic when you write.
Yes, in a way, I think the real reason why I wrote it is, I think it's the reason that is beneath and underneath it all is behind any author. You write it for yourself first. It's almost like you have to get it out of your system. And definitely that was my case. I needed to, they say, you know, to set closure, to finish this thing. And in a way, once I wrote it, because I realized so much and I understood so much in the process of writing it, I think even if I'm still editing some of the footage, you know, I think it was the best way, in a way, to call it closure, you know, to finish this thing. And also possibly, yes, to distill the lessons. In fact, in the book I put the essence of me so far, back then, of course. So it was, of course, the opportunity was to tell the story of my trip, but in a way, I really dug deep and distilled all the essence of me, you know. So far, it's definitely the thing that I could call a legacy, something that I don't have children, so if I had to depart to a better life today, you know, it's what I can leave behind.
Right. So now, have you gone back and filmed footage in Antarctica to do a documentary?
No. I had some footage before the trip, and I have just a little bit of it in the beginning. And what I've done through the years, because now it's 8 years ago, it was 8 years ago. Anyway, in the last 4 years or so, I edited some of the stuff I had and put it on my website for the time being. Okay. And so if somebody reads the book, might find interesting to see what happens before the trip. And for the little bit that obviously I had footage of when I set off and then when it all went. I have just a few more episodes to edit. So far I edited 23 parts because I make them small. We are all busy these days, so I made them you know, in little chunks. A few minutes each, so yeah, more digestible than. And besides, so far I haven't really produced anything, you know, as a film or anything like that. So it's just me being adventurous.
That's a big adventure, though. That's a really big adventure.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, if you start thinking, oh, well, I'm not qualified, I don't know how to do it, whatever, all these things, you know, then you do nothing. Whereas I am the type of person that, okay, but I can learn that, and have a go, why not? And so, of course, the first episode is very different to the last one I edited, but I learned so much on the way, so I find it quite creative and fun, really.
That's good. So, would you recommend the Antarctic trek for people who might need to reconnect with themselves?
Well, I can say this. If you are a nature lover, you know, definitely it's a place where it's so unique and so amazing, that yeah, I would advise somebody who can, you know, to go, definitely. Not necessarily you have to go because you have been through something really tough in your life. You can just go there and enjoy it. Why not? In the book, it came out first as an ebook, so I put all the pictures I could have, and also the picture that, because I lost my ear, I was donated by other members of the group. So I think it's worth a look, even just for the pictures. Yes, of course, I had to swallow my ego and forget that maybe my picture would have been much better, or whatever, you know, but... you know, we all have that little me inside that thinks is better than others, that can do things much in a more creative, better way, blah, blah, blah. And actually, one of the lessons that I learned out of this is the fact that because I was donated many pictures quite generously by some of the group members, it was only when I later on, when I was actually in the process of writing the book, that I realized, I felt really humble, and I realized that because I lost my stuff and I couldn't just possess my own, through other people's pictures I had actually discovered things that I missed, because, you know,
right.
You know, you have a pair of eyes, you have one body, so you filter everything through that. And so, of course, if you are, let's just say, even if you're on the same boat, seeing the same thing, you know, different people will take different pictures, so you see things in a different way. So it was really interesting, especially going through them. For, of course, choosing which one to choose, you know, for the book. And I realized how differently we perceive things, you know, and life. And again, yeah, well, I knew that through my NLP training and, you know, okay, you don't have to be a super duper psychologist to get there. Yes, it's true, but one thing is to know something because you read it, because you've been trained, blah, blah, blah. And one other thing is to really get it, because through experience, it's really different, you know.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so I really, that was one of the many lessons I learned. And then that really humbled me, because I actually discovered the different parts of Antarctica that otherwise I wouldn't have seen if I hadn't been in that situation, so ask for pictures.
Right. Well, maybe we should tell people about your website and where they can go and, you know, see the pictures or the book.
Yeah. The book now is also in paperback, and the paperback is, of course, if you get it in color, for those people who still like browsing, you know, manually a book, it's better. You know, an ebook, you can store it in your Kindle or your iPad or whatever it is. Anyway, whatever is appealing to you, you can find my book, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning, on my website, which is flyinginspiration.com, flying like the fact of flying, FLYING, and then inspiration, like having an inspiration, in one word, .com. So there is a page called My Book, and there you can find audio, articles, videos, and the link to buy it either from the publisher, which is the Endless Bookcase website, or there is the link to Amazon, there is the link to Kobo, there is a link to Nook. So wherever you are in the world, or however you prefer to purchase a book, I think you can find a way for yourself there.
Okay. And do you have any parting, since we're coming up on the end of our session, do you have any parting ideologies or things that you would like to share with the viewers?
I think I would like to share the last line of my book, because I think it sums it all. And as I was saying, in the book I really try my best to put the essence of myself, and to squeeze out all the lessons that I learned through that adventure. And at the end, in the epilogue, what I done, I put them all in a simple list, so you know, so you can, in case you are in dire straits, you don't know very well what is that you need, you can go there and go through them and see the one that applies. But my question was, yes, but what if happens like it happened to me in the trip, you know? Life throws at you something that you don't expect, because that is the only sure thing, that you will always go through something that you haven't planned, you know? Life is quite skilled at doing that to anybody, really. And so I thought, then what is going to be, you know, the advice, you know, what it would be, what will I do? And so I, the jolly lesson, like one that is very useful in any situation, is this: life is a journey of the heart. The mind is only a helper, and the soul is the adventure. So for all those moments when you feel lost, you feel you don't know yourself anymore, or you are not sure what to choose for yourself, etc., I think what is quite useful to know is that life in itself, your journey, is our journey, my journey, is actually a journey of the spirit, which is, in my case, Gabriella Guglielminotti Trivel, or you, Yolande, or whoever, or the reader. And it's not really something that is, as we think, you know, a mental thing, as a conquest, a geographical conquest, or whatever it is. It's the life journey is an adventure of the heart, really. And what really always is the who is the leader in it all is the spirit, who you are. It depends on what you believe, but you know, let's call it the soul. Whatever is your belief, you might use a different word, but anyway. But your heart is always the one that directs you, and it directs you and helps you out and knows the truth and knows what to do and all the rest of it. So when you're lost, just listen to your heart.
Okay. Good words. Good to know. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show and putting up with all the technical hickety-wink that we keep going through. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I was so delighted, you know, to be on your show, Yolande, and I hope that maybe I spread a bit of wisdom or insights that might be useful for others.
Yes, you definitely did. And thank you everyone who will come and see the show in the later viewing, and we will see you on our next episode.